Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello, and welcome to this very unique episode of the MMA Fan Podcast. It's unique because we are currently driving back from the O2 after UFC London in Stu Whiffin's rental car. It's been a really odd night in a lot of ways, not just because of the way that the main event ended, but also for how we watch the show. So welcome to this unique episode of the MMA Fan Podcast. I am Blake Harrison, and here is Stuart Whiffin. Stu, how was your evening?
It was wonderful. I mean, it's going to be peppered, this podcast, with me going, Blake, where am I going? Because I'm literally dropping you home. But we split the event this evening. I was cage side, as you was in the first London event.
Stu has just rolled down the back window instead of the front window to put a ticket in the machine. So this is going well.
There we go. And you was in the media room, so you was watching all the fights in there. And it was a real mixed bag of a night. Part of it was, I mean, the main event, which let's start with the main event, shall we?
Yeah, well, I just want to say, I did watch from the media room. It was so weird because they kept bringing in fighters during other fights. So there's basically most of the prelims I didn't watch properly. So I'm going to have to go home and watch those fights. We might be releasing another episode at some point this week if we can, a proper episode where we talk about the fights in full, because as it stands, there's loads I just can't possibly talk about because I just didn't watch it, because I was interviewing people like Michael Chandler, people like Leon Edwards and people like Arnold Allen that weren't even on the card but were able to get in and have an interview with us. But in terms of the main event, I mean, what was it, 15 seconds? And then Tom Aspinall went down injured. I don't exactly know what happened, but he really badly seemed like he injured his knee. Some people were talking about a potential ACL injury. I have no idea what happened. I mean, it's a shit thing for Tom Aspinall. It's a shit thing for Curtis Blaydes. It's not good for anyone, really. What is great is we've gone the wrong way and we've just passed a car with the license plate saying no hate, but he's on the road talking on his phone in quite an aggressive way, and yet your license plate said no hate. So do what your car tells you to do, mate. Stu, what was your thoughts on the main event?
I thought the it was just heartbreaking. The roar when Tom come out was unbelievable, and of all the, where we were sitting, the media side, all the fighters, the UK fighters, were on the other side of the octagon, but for this one, Tom was right in front of us, so you could sort of see him and his dad and his team, and he just looked so game and up for it, and within, literally 15 seconds, he threw that kick, which looked like it landed on the sort of thigh of Curtis Blaydes, and you just see him recoil onto his arse, like just clutching his knee. And at first, obviously, when you see them shots, you just think, oh no, have we got another broken shin bone or something like that? And there wasn't. I mean, you watch the replays, it doesn't look like anything had sort of snapped, like bone wise, but whatever it done, if it was his ACL, it's heartbreaking. And the whole thing was so sad to sort of, because it had been such a fun event, and to sort of see it end so quickly for Tom was heartbreaking. We've just finished at the post-fight conference as well, and Curtis Blaydes just seemed like, obviously it's not the Harry wanted to get that win.
Did seem pissed off that we were chatting to Molly and Paddy for 40 minutes, the whole media room was, and he came in saying, oh, my answers aren't going to be good because you've been taking too long with Molly and Paddy. It's like, well, you know, they're kind of the stars of the show and they're the hometown team, and they had really great fights and you had 15 seconds, and I know it's not your fault, but that's just how it happens. So yeah, he didn't seem overly thrilled with the people in the media room, but that is how it is. He did talk about his next fight though probably being the winner of Taito Ivas or Cyril Garn, and I think he said that he thinks Garn should have that, but he said also not to really bet on anything in MMA, particularly heavyweight MMA, and Taito Ivas has always got a chance of knocking Garn out, which is true, but I think you would probably favour Garn in that fight. Have you got anything else to say about the main event or what Curtis Blaydes in the media room?
No, not really. He didn't seem like he was a happy bunny. He did seem to feel like the attention was on Paddy and Molly, as you said, and rightly so, because, you know, the fight's in the UK, and that, look at the performance that they put on, which we will get on to, but before that, we need to talk about Chris Curtis and Jack Hermanson. And, I mean, there, to walk out after Paddy and Molly, oh, my God, I mean, I've never experienced a crowd like that. And I've been to quite a lot of UFC events. I've been to quite a lot of boxing events at the O2 and concerts and stuff, but it was unreal. And I thought what I did like about it, Chris Curtis coming out to Sweet Caroline as a nice little sort of nod to Darren Till. And I think when we got to, I mean, I thought Jack done well, kept him at distance, you know, threw lots of kicks. It didn't really feel to me that, I thought he fought a smart fight, Jack, but it didn't necessarily make for a super exciting fight off of the back of the KOs from the Scousers. And then right at the very end, Chris Curtis was like, Jack was on his toes and he was literally running rings around the octagon, and Chris Curtis was like, come on, let's fight. And fair play to Jack. Why would you? You've got a comfortable victory there. Why? I know the fans want it, but you put on a pretty dominant display. Why risk getting knocked out by Chris Curtis, who can knock people out? And so, and then afterwards, you know, he's, we've also just heard Jack in the post-fight conference. He seems like such a lovely dude. And what happened where I was sitting was, as Chris Curtis left the venue, as he walked out of the octagon, he was just literally walking past Jack giving his post-fight speech and was just giving him the finger. He seemed really, really unhappy. But don't get me wrong, as soon as Goddard stepped in and separated him at the end, Jack seemed pretty... He responded as quite quickly and aggressively to Chris Curtis. It looked like we might actually get some fireworks after the bell. But, you know, it never happened. But I think further down the bill, if that fight would have sort of been there, it would have been an entertaining fight. But I just think they were big shoes to fill. And that's all I've really got to say about that. Did you manage to sort of catch much of it in there, or was there people on stage at that point?
No, I mean, this is really lame of me. There was no one on stage, but there was just some chats going on and I got involved in some conversations, and that is just like one of those things that happened. What do you want to say?
That's when your Deliveroo arrived as well, yeah. So you had to go out the front of the O2 to collect that, didn't you? That's right.
Oh, yeah, boy, getting the old doner kebabs in for the Scousers. So let's move on to the Scousers, because that's what we were really all there for, and they're the ones that shone again. So let's start with Paddy. I mean... I thought this was going to be a sort of tough fight for him, and I think it did prove to be tricky at points, but I think Jordan Livick kind of, I think he lacked where I thought he would lack, and that was just in that sheer fire of the fight. You know, I think Jordan does well in maybe a more technical fight where he can wrestle a bit more, and his wrestling caused Paddy some problems, but Paddy's grappling, I think, can be underrated, especially when he's gone into the UFC and just got two knockouts in these crazy firefights he's had for like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it was in those last two fights he's had. But his grappling's great, and he got fantastic submission. One of the brilliant things that happened was, shout out to Zoe, who works for the UFC, because I was walking out just to see Paddy's walk, and she went, do you want me to see if I can get you into the cage side area? I was like, yes, please. And she did. So Paddy is the only fight I actually watched live from cage side, and it was phenomenal. The walkout, the buzz, the fight itself, I thought was interesting, was great. It wasn't all action-packed like some of his last fights, but it had intrigue to it in terms of the grappling exchanges. But Paddy always seemed to be the one in the ascendancy, always seemed to be the one that was like, all right, we're going to the ground, I'm going to try and be the one that locks you up in a guillotine or a rear naked choke or, you know, an arm triangle or whatever it is. It was always Paddy doing achieving the more fight-ending scenarios, whereas Jordan Levitt seemed to be more content with just, he had a couple of slams and pinning him down and maybe trying to land a few strikes here and there, but I don't feel like Paddy ever really looked like he was in too much danger. How did you see it?
Yeah, pretty much what you just said there. In fairness to Jordan, never fighting in front of a big crowd and to walk out into that octagon must have been something to really have to sort of deal with. And Paddy said in the post fight that he was just sort of staring across at him, trying to sort of, his eyes burning into his soul, and he said, like, I could see that it was all getting to him. I thought Paddy looked comfortable throughout the whole fight, and he said when he threw that knee, which kind of brought it close to the close, he said, like, my knee, as he said when he got up onto the stage at the post-fight conference, he said, my knee's, like, hurting stepping up there. He said, like, that hit his skull. So he knew that he'd done a bit of damage and then...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Got the finish. It was a moment. I think, like, looking back at the last UFC London, which was phenomenal as well, you know, just these moments. And he was saying as well about, you know, he hates the sort of terminology hype train, but for me, I hope he doesn't interpret people saying that as, you know, he's a novelty and when's it going to end, because he's doing all the right things. You know, he's a superstar, you know, and what's this, his third fight in the UFC?
Yep.
Like, ridiculous. Like, you know, the whole of the O2, I mean, he said something post fight as well, that the O2's too small for me now. I mean, you know, that's great chat, but if Paddy the Baddy headlined the O2, it'd sell out, and that's impressive. And I think tonight's performance absolutely sort of delivered everything he said he was going to do. He said that he was a little disappointed in his performance. I don't know why. I don't know what else he could have done, really. I thought them grappling exchanges, he seemed really in control. Even when, like, you know, he might have been on the wrong end of it, he never looked like it was ever going to sort of go any other way than the way it went. So, yeah, huge, huge win. And I'm still on the hype train, and I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. I think this is just going to add to his confidence. I'm interested to see who's next.
Yeah, and this is a chance to say, go and check out our socials on Twitter and Instagram, because we did get to chat with Paddy and Molly in the media room. Paddy saying that he can get up to £205. That's a light heavyweight when he's outside of camp. We asked him a funny little question about that. And also Molly was incredible, and she referenced all of the shit that Paddy's had to deal with over the last week. And if you're not aware, he developed a great kind of relationship with baby Lou, who's like a four-year-old boy who was suffering from cancer terminally, sadly passed away a few weeks ago. And also one of Paddy's good friends committed suicide, and Paddy found out about it, I think, on Friday. So, I mean, gosh, he's been through a hell of a lot and still pulled out such an incredible performance. So yeah, and what an amazing thing at the end of the fight as well to openly be saying, you know, men talk to people, that don't suffer in silence, don't think it's not masculine enough to ask for help or to console a friend, because as Paddy put it beautifully, he'd rather his friend cry on his shoulder than Paddy himself cry carrying his coffin a week later. I mean, absolutely, I mean, beautiful words said about such a tragic situation. So yeah, that goes out to everyone.
And testament to that was the fact that he was so open with his emotion after making that speech. You could see as he walked past, I think you see one of our socials, I managed to sort of capture a little bit of it. Like, he was in tears, you know. It looked like he was just overcome with emotion. And after a week like that, and then having to do what he's done this evening, you know, that shows real courage and that vulnerability that Paddy's got to speak like the way he does and to be an open book. Like, credit to him. Absolute credit to him.
Absolutely. And then moving on to his Scouse brethren.
There was a fight in between that.
Yeah, but let's just move on to Molly, shall we? Because we're going to be home soon.
I mean, props to the Hall of Famer, Gustafsson, who, I'm a big fan of Gus, but there's not a lot to say about that tonight, because Krylov went in there and just put the pressure on him and absolutely destroyed him. It was just relentless with pressure, and just put him away very, very, very quickly. I've seen that DC's already posted that maybe it's time that, you know, very kindly and as a friend, like, maybe that's time now, you know, to hang up the mitts, because no one wants to see Gus get beaten. And yeah, it was a sad night for Gus. And I mean, props to Krylov, like, an incredible, devastating performance. And so yeah, and then we can now get on to Meatball.
So yeah, Meatball is the one, that's the one we want to talk about. What a display. I mean, after not getting a finish in the UFC and after having you know, these decision wins or losses and everything, she pulled out that knockout of the year contender in the last London card back in March. And again, that spinning back elbow came into play. It wasn't as devastating a kind of one-hit finish with the elbow. She seemed to rock her hard on the feet with a punch. Then she hit the elbow. Then she landed some more punches. But Jesus, to the transformation in Molly to get these two first-round finishes, absolutely phenomenal. And she's called out Antonina Shevchenko, going for Valentina's sister. I think it's a fantastic call-out. I think she's just a star in the making. I mean, we're not even in the making. She is a star. She is a star. She's coming to the press conferences with Dana White's whiskey, the Howler Head stuff and all of that. I mean, and the two of them together, doing press conference together, I hope they're never on different cards from each other. They have to fight on the same card all the time. It's unlikely that there'll be another UFC London or a UFC in the UK anytime soon. So they're going to have to go somewhere else. But there's New York, there's Abu Dhabi, there's loads of places that they could go. And yeah, it just the Scousers together, you've got to get them on pay-per-views, and you've got to get them possibly even, well, definitely being on main cards. I mean, they sell the fights. They really, really do. So yeah, it's a special thing for them two to be on the main card. We're just kind of pulling up towards home now, yeah, it is a it's a special thing to see Molly and Paddy together in their fights, and yeah, I mean, just do you have anything else to say about it? It was just a phenomenal finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, and again, she just looked so dominant, and she was just throwing big shots, and absolutely impressive. I'm you know, calling out Shevchenko is amazing. She said, "Am I ready for Valentina? No, I'm not." Which again, that's what I love. I love the honesty about, you know, that you get from her and Paddy. So if that fight happens, fantastic. Yeah, and do you know what? She should have had a drink. She should have had a little drink. Like, it was amazing. She had a big bottle of Halehead at the post fight. God knows how much. I see her doing. As soon as she walked out the octagon, Joanna called her over, who was cage side with Michael Chandler and, oh, I can't think, Leon Edwards, maybe. They were all in a sort of big row along there, and they were all pouring her shots and having a big drink with Molly on the way out. And she looked like she there's a party going on with Molly tonight somewhere, and I wish I was at it, because she was buzzing at that post-conference. And like you say, always together, always Paddy and Molly together. They should always do that sort of stuff, because the chemistry is ridiculous, and it's so, so lovely and exciting and funny, and you know, and they talk really lovely things. Who can get 70,000 people? Is that amazing? The O2, something like that, isn't it?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
But, oh, it's like 20,000.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Who can get that amount of people chanting "fuck the Tories"? Like, you know, it's amazing. And yeah, I was absolutely. Like, she, I'm not suggesting the rest of that card wasn't exciting, but it went to a different place when Molly walked out into there and she got that knockout. It was like, right, now here we go. But what was before Molly's fight?
I have no idea, but it's going to be interesting to see how they book Molly and Paddy now, because you do sort of have to keep them as a double act. The fact that they're in the post-fight press conference together, and Molly did like the first five or six questions because Paddy just didn't even come up for air while smashing through these German doner kebabs. It'd be interesting to see how they book them, because you would argue that Paddy's not necessarily ready for a co-main event yet, but you want them on these big pay-per-views, and they will sell it. That's the thing. If they're on a pay-per-view on the undercard of, you know, any champion, or a lot of cards are two belts now, you stick those two on the cards. The champions are licking their lips because they know they're going to be getting extra pay-per-view points, because people will pay good money to tune in and watch the Paddy and Molly show.
Absolutely. I want to talk. I know that, you know, we've got to start to wrap it up now, because I'm literally sitting outside your house and it is like stupid o'clock in the morning. But we wanted to sort of just capture the excitement that we're still sort of coming down from being at the O2. But one of the fights that really excited me this evening was to see Nathaniel Wood, the only Londoner on the card. Obviously, it all went wrong for him in the last UFC London with his opponent pulling out literally like a day before. And after that, and that was also Nate coming off of a hand injury. So to see him go in there tonight, and it was a great fight as well. And he just looked really solid, really dominant, and got a big win. So it was great to see GB Top Team there, seeing Brad in his corner. Another fighter that was fighting out of GB Top Team tonight was Mark Diakasi. Grounded out and wrestled solidly for three rounds, which probably most of us didn't expect. You know, we've seen him throw some very flamboyant kicks and get some good finishes, but he changed his game tonight and really showcased his grappling and got a very dominant win. I'm just trying to think what other fights really sort of... Is there anything you want to
say? Did you mention Jai Herbert?
I mean, that was one of the first fights of the night. I think he was the first Brit in the ring. And obviously after the last UFC London, heartbreaking for Jai. You know, he's a former guest on the show and he's such a nice dude. Again, Leon Edwards in his corner. Jai just put on a solid performance tonight. Got a nice win. And I've got to be honest, I was chatting to some of the other people in the media room and there was that worry that if he got a loss tonight, could that be him out of the UFC? And no one wants to see that. So hopefully his performance tonight, I don't know what's left on his contract, but a big win in the UK. Massive props and respect to Jai. It was lovely to see him get that win.
Mohamed Makhachev was the other one that got a win, got 15 minutes in the cage, won by a decision in the end. I think a lot of people were expecting him to run through Charles Johnson in more emphatic fashion, but it's 15 minutes of cage time, which is really good for a young fighter like Mohamed Makhachev. And believe me when I say a lot of people are still tipping him to be a huge player at 125. They're tipping him to be a future champion and maybe even going up in weight and doing something at 135 as well. He's still very, very young. He's one of the most successful, if not the most successful, amateur MMA fighter of all time. He has got an incredibly bright future. And we spoke to him. We had questions with Jai. We had questions with Molly, Paddy, all the big winners at UFC London. You go on our socials and you can check out some of our questions that we asked those guys. And not only that, but also Michael Chandler, Leon Edwards and Arnold Allen were all there as well. So we had little chats with them as well. You can check those out on our socials. Is there anything else you want to touch upon?
A bad night for Mason Jones. I think he went in there with the best of intentions, but he just seemed to get beaten to the punch tonight. What I will say is, wherever he bought his chin from, a lot of fighters need to go to that shop because Mason Jones, he had a couple of kicks that were just insane, and he just walked through them. Hopefully. We're going to see Mason back in the octagon soon. But, tough night for him tonight. But Makhachev, just to touch on that, mauled him. Just looked so comfortable. I don't know if the fans wanted to see a finish. Of course, they wanted to see a finish. But I thought he looked really, really good. Johnson, one of the most incredible hairlines, receding hairlines I'd ever seen. It receded right to his neck. And he just had that weird kind of little bit of hair at the back of his head. I don't know if that was the stress of fighting Makhachev done that, but again, when he made that walk to the octagon tonight, Mohamed, the roar for him and second fight in the UFC, isn't it?
Yeah.
The hype around him, he's ridiculous, and I think he showed again tonight why that hype's there, because he's a serious contender there. So it was an incredible evening. Great to see Chandler. I saw Rakic there. I saw MVP was there. Jimmy Manua. There was loads of the fighters had come out. I haven't seen Arnold, which is a shame. It would have been nice to have gone and said hello, but absolutely. another big night in the UFC in the O2, and just heartbreaking that we didn't get the cherry on the cake with a big old tear up between Blades and Tom. So yeah, just I guess as we wrap this up, just say all the best to Tom Aspinall. Hope he's in hospital getting his leg put right as we speak, and hopefully he'll make a quick recovery and we'll see him back in there either against Blades or another top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose a couple more things before we finish up. Paul Craig, I felt really sorry for Paul Craig. Uzdemir just seemed to be just quite dominant in terms of not getting sucked into Paul's game. And I think that's one thing I've been worried about for a while, is people seem to underestimate Paul's jiu-jitsu, and Uzdemir didn't. Uzdemir went, no, I'm going nowhere near you on the ground. I'm going to try and get out of this as much as possible and just going to beat you to the punch. And Paul was just so... He seemed so adamant that he needed the fight on the ground. It was almost like watching a Ryan Hall fight at times.
That's exactly what I said to the guy sitting next to me. I went, this is like watching Ryan Hall, because he just wanted to get that. And the ref, and he would stay there until the ref separated him and said, right, up you get. And I thought Bearju's like stand-up was pretty decent tonight. He threw big shots, but... You know, I'm not taking nothing away from his power, but it didn't look like Uzdemir was ever going to get in any real trouble with them shots. And I think, you know, we all know what Bearju's strengths are, and it's you know, it's tying you up on the floor. And Uzdemir must have trained so hard to just not get pulled in to that game. And he fought a smart fight, and that gave him the W.
And speaking of the chin shop, I mean, Paul Craig shops at the chin shop. He has got some chin on him, Paul Craig.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I can't wait to see him back in there. Do you know what? In an ideal world, like, he'd just beaten Krylov. I'd like to have seen him get Gus in there tonight. That would have been the fight I would have liked to have seen. But he'll bounce back from it. He's a top lad. He's Bearju. And there was no shame in that loss tonight. It was a solid performance. But unfortunately, Uzdemir had kind of... done everything he had to do to not get pulled into the, you know, the jiu-jitsu.
To get pulled into Paul. Let's end on a really great thing, though. Away from UFC London, we have a new Cage Warriors lightweight champion of the world, and his name is George Hardwick. Chicken Palmos all round. I watched the fight. Jesus, I mean, he took some damage in the first round. His nose was busted really early, and that Carl Driscoll looked really good. But George is just relentless. Even when Carl Driscoll was hitting him with the heavier shots, maybe hitting him cleaner, George just kept putting that pressure on, and then started to land the body shots. And it's those body shots, man, they hit hard. That left hook to the body, he dropped him, I think, in round three, and then he finished him in round four with that same body shot. George just seems to have an unbelievable stamina, a great chin on him again, can just hit you with volume, just sheer volume. And yeah, it was a phenomenal night for him. Are the Hardwick brothers the most exciting MMA brothers at the moment?
I 100% would do every single episode of this podcast with the Hardwick brothers. I think they are just very unique. So ridiculously funny. You know, Harry's just got funny bones. George has got this really dry sense of humour, and they just, collectively, they just absolutely destroy me. And they're absolute savages. You know, Harry's last outing, oh my God, what a tear up that was. And then last night we get to see George win the strap. So yeah, we're huge fans of the Hardwick brothers on this podcast. We've had them on a couple of times now, and we'll have to reach out and get them back on now. George is the champ.
Absolutely, absolutely. Any more for any more?
No, we're done. Can I go home now?
We're done. We can go home now. All right, bye, guys. Let's hope this is recorded all right and that the quality was okay for you. Laters.